For Antiwar.com and Chaos Radio 95.9 FM in Austin, Texas, I'm Scott Horton. This is Antiwar Radio. Introducing independent historian and journalist Dr. Gareth Porter. Most often find what he writes for IPS News. And, of course, you can find all of his IPS News articles at original.antiwar.com/Porter. In this case, the subject of discussion is an article that he did, a news report that he did for The Nation. It's called Bush's Iran-Argentina Terror Frame-Up. And this is, I believe, the longest, most in-depth version of a few different articles that have been done by Dr. Porter on this issue. Welcome back to the show, Gareth. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks very much, Scott. I'm glad to be back, as always.
Well, it's very good to have you here. And now, in fact, let's start there. Set me straight about how many articles you've done, and is this one basically the culmination of all of them together, or how's that work?
Yes, the one that was done online with The Nation magazine is the most complete version. I did one other, I did two other stories relating to the Argentina bombing of 1994. One was in... I've forgotten the exact date, but it would have been much earlier, and it was on the relationship between the charge that Iran was behind this bombing in Argentina and what we know about Argentina, cooperation between Argentina and Iran on the Iranian nuclear program, which represented a very serious interest, of course, on Iran's part in cooperation with Argentina, which they had no reason to want to jeopardize by carrying out bombings in 1992 and 1994 in Argentina. It just, so I pointed out in that article in IPS that it just didn't add up based on the sources that actually the Argentine government itself made public in the massive, almost 1,000-page document that they essentially used as the basis for their charges.
Okay, now, both of those, there are actually two articles, two IPS articles at antiwar.com. One of them is U.S. officials rejected key source on 94 Argentina bombing, and the other is Argentine report cast doubt on Iran role in 94.
Exactly, yes. And the first one that you just mentioned is January 24th, 2008. IPS. That was an IPS, but it was antiwar.com, January 24th, 2008.
Right, and the other one is November 14th, 2006, the Argentine report.
We've got the dates handy. So the second one, the one U.S. officials rejected key source on 94 Argentina bombing, actually lays out very briefly the essence of the story that I was able to put together from interviews with four officials, three top officials in the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires at the time of the 1994 Buenos Aires terror bombing of a Jewish community center, and that included Ambassador James Cheek, and the head of the FBI team, which was sent down to help the Argentine intelligence agency carry out its investigation in 1997-1998. And so it was those interviews that formed the basis for my essentially debunking the charge that Iran was behind this bombing.
Now, before we go any further with this, you might want to address what is the actual importance in this day, halfway through 2009 here, who really cares whether Hezbollah or anybody else blew up something back in 1994?
Well,
I mean, other than the families of the deceased and all that, don't get me wrong.
I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of scratches on our minds. That was a term that was used way back in the mid-1940s, to refer to the kind of ideas that people get into their heads about a foreign country. In this case, it had to do with ideas about Asians and particularly the Chinese. Formed by Americans over long periods of time from various sources. But essentially, this has to do with the overlay, one layer on top of another, of ideas that we have essentially gotten over the years based on media coverage of events and charges being made by U.S. officials about Iran's role in international terrorism. And there are two major cases here that are, you know, most frequently cited, and the one that's been most often cited and cited with the greatest relish, I would say, to make the case that Iran is a state sponsor of international terrorism is this 1994 bombing of a Jewish community center.
Well, now, the main example would be the bombing of the barracks in Beirut. It would be the one most often used, right?
Well, actually, no. You know, interestingly, that is not usually cited as a case of Iranian state support for terrorism, for the simple reason that the United States was involved in a war in Lebanon against Shia forces there, which were obviously aligned with Iran. And my understanding is that officially the United States has never charged that Iran was guilty of terrorism in that, even though they believe that Iran was, in fact, behind the bombing of the Marine barracks. And, of course, they're very... They still have a chip on their shoulder about that event, to say the least. Nevertheless, it's not really terrorism in the sense that it's usually used, because we're talking about a military target in a wartime situation.
I see. Well, so in Argentina, you have the whole America's New World all the way across the ocean, the world turning green, like the old John Birch maps of the world turning red. It's the Islamic Revolution coming up through Latin America,
exactly.
Like I saw on Fox News.
Exactly. This is a very important example of the alleged Iranian involvement in really an attack on innocent civilians. I mean, no one would claim that the Jewish victims of this terror bombing in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in 1994 had any culpability or any relationship to Israel's involvement in Lebanon. And yet the idea was readily accepted that Iran must be behind a terrorist bombing of a Jewish community center in Buenos Aires. And the main fact that I uncovered very quickly is that there simply was no evidence of any kind of any link with either Hezbollah, who were, you know, said to be the instrument of this Iranian policy of support for, you know, terrorism in Argentina, or Iran itself.
Don't tell me that they just said Hezbollah did it. They must have had all kinds of different pieces of evidence and witnesses and so forth indicating such, right?
Okay, well, let me tell you very quickly, you know, what evidence they had. The first, the most important piece of evidence, and I put evidence here in quotes, is that this was supposed to have been a suicide bomb attack, a suicide car bomb. The reasoning was, it was explained to me by the people in the embassy, was that since it was a suicide bomb attack and this was a Hezbollah tactic, that therefore, ipso facto, this must be a Hezbollah attack and therefore Iran must be behind it. And literally, that was the level of analysis that was being used to base the official publicly declared U.S. conclusion.
That's called police work.
That's called political bias of the highest order, and that is absolutely what I was told by American diplomats who were directly involved in particularly the deputy chief of mission, who was the lead official at the U.S. embassy at that time in Buenos Aires, who was following the investigation, and that's what he told me was the primary reason for the U.S. having come to that conclusion. Now, there was something else as well, the single piece of evidence that was cited over the years for saying that that this was, in fact, a suicide bomb attack is that there were pieces of the car, or the car which was alleged to have been used in the suicide bomb attack, that were found, fragments of that car that were found in the bodies of victims of the bombing. And I have no reason to believe that that fact is not true. But what the leading specialist, the leading scholar on the 1994 terrorist bombing in Buenos Aires told me, explained to me, and documents in a book that he's published on the attack, is that there is pieces of the car that was actually the one in question, the one that was supposedly tied to the perpetrators of this attack. So that turns out to have been a false lead. And I point out some other, serious anomalies in the official case that was made by the Argentine government over the years. A case that, by the way, finally fell apart completely when it was revealed that the prosecutor essentially tried to bribe a key witness who was in jail by offering him his freedom and a very large sum of money, $500,000, if I remember correctly, or $1 million, if he would finger a group of, first of all, they wanted him to finger a group of Hezbollah or accused, people who were accused of being Hezbollah operatives who had been detained, and he refused to do that. And later, they offered him money and freedom to finger members of the Buenos Aires Police Department, who happened to be rivals of the then president of Argentina, political rivals of the president of Argentina. So it was discovered on tape. There was a videotape of this bribery attempt, which was then broadcast on television in Buenos Aires, and that resulted then in the firing of the prosecutor. And of course, he was then accused of having essentially put together a dishonest, illegal case, and that essentially was the real case that was ever made. The only real case that was ever made that even there was a suicide bombing attack, much less that Hezbollah was behind it.
Well, so then who did it?
Well, I mean, I think, it's impossible at this point to say with any certainty, but there is very strong circumstantial evidence supporting the conclusion that this was an inside job by right-wing, anti-Semitic intelligence, police, military, and I use that with slashes, intelligence/police/military personnel, who, had, in fact, carried out the dirty war in Argentina during the 1970s, and who were never called to account by the Argentine democratic government in the 1980s and 1990s, and who actually held that government at bay by the threat of carrying out a coup at one point. Some extremely right-wing anti-Semitic officers led by a guy named Seinelden, Colonel Seinelden, who had issued openly anti-Semitic statements, had actually carried out an attempted coup. Not a coup so much as a takeover of a military installation, which was going to be aimed at intimidating the government. So there is this background. They had the opportunity. There's no question about that. They could act with impunity. They had plenty of access to the explosives, and they were anti-Semitic. There's no need to sort of assume that you had to go across the ocean to the Middle East to find enemies of Jews in Argentina when Buenos Aires, Argentina, is one of the most anti-Semitic centers in the entire world.
Well, now give us a word here about the reporting that you did for this. How long did it take you to write it? How many sources did you have? You pieced this together from reading the LA Times and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, or what?
No. This, as I said, this was based on interviews with the four top officials of the, sorry, three top officials of the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires at the time, the Ambassador James Cheek and the Deputy Chief of Mission, Bill Brenchick, were the two key people that I interviewed, and they both said the same thing, that there was no evidence. And then, really, perhaps even more important than that, was the interview that I did with the, as I mentioned, the head of the FBI team, which went down there. James Bernazzani was his name, is his name. He was assigned to the New Orleans FBI office when I interviewed him, and it was quite surprising to me that he agreed to be interviewed, and I guess he believed that it couldn't hurt the FBI's reputation to talk about this, but he gave some of the most amazing admissions in that interview that I could have imagined. He told me that the centerpiece of the case at one point, which the Argentine government continued to cite even in their October 2006 documentation supporting the indictment of seven Iranians, was a guy named Abul Ghassem Mesbahi, who was an Iranian defector. He'd been in the Iranian intelligence service, a third-ranking man in the intelligence service. He defected to the West in 1996 and then came out with this story, which became perhaps the headline in 1996, or after that, that there had been a meeting in 1993, August 14th, 1993, of top Iranian officials over which President Rafsanjani presided, in which the decision was made to plan a bombing of the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires a year later. And what Bernazani told me is that this guy, Mesbahi, had been completely discredited among U.S. intelligence because he had no longer had the access to high-level Iranian officials by 1994. He was poor, as he put it, quote, he was poor, even broke, and he was supposedly, according to Mesbahi, was prepared to basically testify in any country where there was any case involving Iran in order to get support, because he was in his career had crashed and burned, and he needed whatever source of support he could get. So this was the centerpiece of the storyline that they'd adopted in the late 1990s and 2000, and that turned out to be a complete lie. Now the other thing that Bernazani told me, which is equally interesting and perhaps in the long run more important, is that what he found when he went to Argentina in late 1997 is that the only evidence the Argentine investigators were claiming at that point to support the idea of Iranian responsibility or Hezbollah responsibility for the bombing was that there was a surveillance tape of Iran's cultural attaché at that point, named Mohsen Rabbani, and he was shot by the surveillance tape while shopping for a white Renault van, which is the kind of van that was said to have been used in the bombing. Well, that's pretty weak in and of itself, just because he was shopping for the same kind of van. I'm told that that was really the only kind of van that could be used for carrying goods around Argentina. So it was really quite meaningless. But what I later found out was that the original intelligence report on the surveillance of this guy Rabbani, you can find this in the record of the official Argentine investigation files. It shows that Rabbani was being filmed on May 1st, 1993. That's nearly 15 months before the bombing and 3 months before this meeting was alleged to have taken place in August of 1993 to plan the event. So clearly that was, and there was a leak by the Argentine police or intelligence to a leading daily newspaper basically saying that Mesbahi had been filmed while shopping for this white Renault, as though this were extremely incriminating. They didn't tell when it was done. Then the second piece of evidence that Bernazani said they had found was something called link analysis of telephone records. And this was basically a very complex methodology to try to link different telephones together. And what Bernazani told me was that this idea of using link analysis to make this kind of a case that somebody's is guilty, and in this case this Iranian official, is very dangerous, as he put it, because he said, using that same methodology, you could link my telephone with bin Laden. So this is the FBI official who was supposedly going down there to help the Argentine police, not police, but intelligence officials do their job.
So, in other words, they came up with their conclusion right off the bat. Now, do you think it was even an honest mistake to say, well, looks like it was a suicide bombing, so it must have been Hezbollah. Who the hell else is going to blow themselves up?
Well, I think that there's no doubt that it was a political decision that was made from the very beginning, you know, within a day or so of the Argentine bombing. The U.S. was already issuing statements that hinted very strongly that they believed it was Iran before they had any kind of evidence of any kind whatsoever. And, of course, that coincided with the interest of the Clinton administration at that point in making a deal with the Israelis under which the Israelis would agree to negotiate peace with the Palestinians. And in return, the United States would come down very, very hard on Iran. And that was a deal that it's been documented, well documented by officials who were in the government at that point. There's no doubt about it. But that was what was really going on. They were going to find Iran guilty regardless of what the evidence said. So,
I'm no newspaper editor, but it seems to me that there's a whole other, at least sidebar story, which is, hey, the U.S. ambassador to Argentina and all these FBI agents and all these people are saying so. That's sort of its own story itself, right? That you're reporting that these people are saying that. Why isn't this a big deal to everybody?
Well, you know as well as I do that if you publish something in the Nation magazine online, nobody's going to pay attention to it. It's simply not going to register.
You'll get the spotlight at antiwar.com.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry, being in anywhere.com is not going to quite make it in terms of getting into the LA Times, I'm afraid.
No, I guess not. But I guess, you know, you say you were surprised when that one FBI agent talked to you. Were you surprised all along that all these people were basically dying to tell a reporter, yeah, it wasn't Iran, this is a big hoax?
I don't think they were dying at all, but I think they simply recognized that the truth was so clear that there was no evidence, that they really... I mean, they were simply not ready to lie openly or, you know, lie unequivocally to somebody.
Now, is this an official legal position of the U.S. government that that's officially what happened or something, or it's not enough of the U.S. government's business for it to be official like that?
Well, the of course, the Clinton administration issued statements frequently suggesting, you know, that Iran was guilty. And then the Bush administration, George W. Bush administration, came down even harder because they were encouraging the Argentine government to issue official indictment of the Iranian. As, you know, it was went right along with the Bush administration's policy of putting maximum pressure on Iran and justifying the hardline policy of the administration toward Iran. And so Bush himself, of course, did make statements. As well as other officials, but particularly Bush, welcoming, you know, even the Interpol statement that supported the Argentine indictment against the seven Iranian officials.
Mm-hmm. And yet, wasn't there a news story that came out just last week or 2 weeks ago or something that cited this Argentine bombing and Israel was making the case of some kind of massive Iranian infiltration of the Southern Hemisphere?
Well, you know, that's another interesting angle on this. In my interviews with various officials, I mean, there was a belief, a very broad popular belief among sort of counterterrorism officials and intelligence officials in the U.S. government that Hezbollah had a very big organization operating in the tri-border area, that is the border area where Brazil, Paraguay, and Argentina come together. And there was an official belief, an official position, which was taken by the U.S. government both during Clinton and Bush administration period, that Hezbollah not only was collecting money for, the fundraisers supporting Hezbollah were not only raising funds for Hezbollah in that area, which was no doubt about. I mean, there's very strong support among the Lebanese Shia community in that part of Latin America, South America. But also that they had terrorist cells. They had people there who were trained to carry out terrorist incidents, terrorist activities. And what is interesting is that, and here I may not remember the exact date, but it was in the period 2004-2005, if I remember correctly, the three countries in the tri-border area met with officials, intelligence and counterterrorism officials of the United States, to discuss this problem of the tri-border area and terrorism in that area. And all three countries very strongly put pressure on the Bush administration to admit that there had never been any evidence that there had been terror cells discovered, that there were terror cells in that part of Central America, or not Central America, South America. And in fact, the Bush administration official attending the conference went along with the insistence of all three countries in recognizing officially that there had not been any evidence to support the propaganda line that the United States had taken on that issue. However, unfortunately, that has quickly been forgotten, and you see the kinds of statements that you're citing there that Israel made, cropping up from time to time, suggesting that, of course, we know that Hezbollah has terror cells in that part of Latin America.
Now, what was the cool word you used for it at the beginning of the show? The creation of the kind of background narrative for a bunch of lies?
I called that Scratches on Our Mind, which is a term that was the title of a book about prejudices that had grown up about Asians, and particularly about the Chinese, in American minds over a period of many decades.
All right, everybody. Again, the most comprehensive of all the articles on this is Bush's Iran-Argentina Terror Frame-Up, and it's at thenation.com. Thanks very much for your time on the show today.
My pleasure, as always, Scott. Thanks.